Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. It is our 950th day together in the Word of God, coming up close on day 1,000, just 50 more days away from that. We're going to have 1,096 of these devotional studies in God's Word all together, Lord willing, by the end of this year, when we will wrap up our three-year journey through God's Word. We are Lamentations 5, wrapping up this wonderful book with a prayer. Let's look to the Lord in prayer as we look to His Word today. Father in heaven, thank you for your Word. Thank you for all of your Word. Thank you for Lamentations. It is a sad book. It's a challenging and troubling book because it tells us of one of the darkest chapters in the history of your people. And yet an even darker chapter was when your Son hung on the cross for us and for our salvation. And so in darkness, in pain, in suffering, there is your work of redemption unfolding. Help us to see this today in Lamentations 5, and help us to learn how to pray well when we suffer. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Lamentations chapter 5. Remember, O Lord, what has befallen us. Look and see our disgrace. Our inheritance has been turned over to strangers, our homes to foreigners. We have become orphans, fatherless. Our mothers are like widows. We must pay for the water we drink. The wood we must get must be bought. Our pursuers are at our necks. We are weary. We are given no rest. We have given the hand to Egypt and to Assyria to get bread enough. Our fathers sinned and are no more, and we bear their iniquities. Slaves rule over us. There is none to deliver us from their hand. We get our bread at the peril of our lives because of the sword in the wilderness. Our skin is hot as an oven with the burning heat of famine. Women are raped in Zion, young women in the towns of Judah. Princes are hung up by their hands. No respect is shown to the elders. Young men are compelled to grind at the mill, and boys stagger under loads of wood. The old men have left the city gate. The young men, their music, the joy of our hearts has ceased. Our dancing has been turned to mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us, for we have sinned. For this, our heart has become sick. For these things, our eyes have grown dim. For Mount Zion, which lies desolate, jackals prowl over it. But you, O Lord, reign forever. Your throne endures to all generations. Why do you forget us forever? Why do you forsake us for so many days? Restore us to yourself, O Lord, that we may be restored. Renew our days as of old, unless you have utterly rejected us, and you remain exceedingly angry with us. Lamentations 5. It's a prayer. It's a prayer that closes out this book. It's different from the other chapters. Three of the previous four chapters had ended in prayer. All of the previous four chapters had been acrostic poems, highly structured, with each verse or set of verses beginning with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. This one is not. This one is a prayer to God, and it is not acrostic. You'll notice that there are 22 verses, but it doesn't follow the same pattern as earlier to break from that pattern. And so here we have the prayer that God would have mercy. Remember, O Lord, look and see our disgrace. And then Jeremiah just pours out this lament of everything that he wants the Lord to see and take notice of, all the terrible ways that they're suffering. Now, of course, Jeremiah knows that the Lord is all-knowing, that he knows all of these things. But he's calling them to the Lord's remembrance. When we ask the Lord to remember, it is not because we think God has forgotten. When we ask the Lord to look and see, it's not because we think God is blind. Remember, look and see are pleas of covenantal remembrance, of covenantal seeing. In other words, Lord, you have promised to be our God. You have promised to be our shepherd. Yes, you said you would discipline us when we go astray, and we have gone astray. Our father sinned and are no more, and we bear their iniquities is verse 7. And then you get down to verse 16. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us, for we have sinned. So our father sinned. They are no more. We bear their iniquities, and we have sinned. There's no hiding that. But there's still a plea for the Lord to have mercy. Mercy is for sinners. Forgiveness is for wrongdoers. And that's what is being pleaded for. It's a covenantal remember, a covenantal look upon us and see. There's a confession at the end that the Lord reigns forever. There is no doubt that God is sovereign over the nations. There is no question that he is ruling over his people, that he is the one under whose throne all of these things are taking place. And so when it's, why do you forget us forever? It's not, again, that God doesn't know, but it's a covenantal forgetting, like shunning. Like Jesus said on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why do you forsake us for so many days? Jeremiah prays. Restore us to yourself, that we may be restored. Renew our days as of old. That's the prayer we should be praying. We should be praying, Lord, look upon the sad state of your church. We are worldly. We are compromised. We are idolatrous. We are spiritually weak. We are distracted. We are divided. We are selfish. We are proud. We are being trampled by the world. Restore us to yourself, that we may be restored. And then there's this sad ending, unless you have utterly rejected us and you remain exceedingly angry with us. Now, Jeremiah doesn't believe that this is the case, but that would be the only reason why God would not hear the prayer to restore and renew. The only reason why God would not hear the prayer to restore and renew is if God had utterly rejected and remained exceedingly angry. Now, we can have even greater confidence than Jeremiah that that is not the case, because we know something that Jeremiah didn't know. We know that God poured out all of his wrath upon his son on the cross, that Jesus bore the punishment for our sin. The punishment for our sin was laid upon him. By his stripes we are healed. Jesus cried on the cross, it is finished. That means the wrath of God is satisfied. The debt is paid in full. So God cannot remain exceedingly angry with us, because Jesus has already made satisfaction for the just anger of God. So there may be discipline as a father to a son whom he loves, but it will not be utter rejection. And so we can pray with more confidence, restore us to yourself, O Lord, that we may be restored. Let's pray that together now. Heavenly Father, we are your people, called by your name, redeemed by your Son, sealed by your Spirit, given your word, and yet we have sinned. We do not deny our fathers have sinned and have passed down a legacy of worldliness, an obsession with entertainment and celebrity, and earthly measures of success. We've inherited those things. We believe them ourselves. We've sinned. We've not been faithful to preach and teach your word with clarity and faithfulness. We've not been faithful to evangelize. We don't support missions to unreached nations as we should. We give such a small, pathetic little bit of what you give to us to advance your gospel in this world. We are selfish. We are neglectful. And the world laughs at us because they see how spiritually weak and hypocritical we are. Restore us, O Lord. Restore us, O Lord, and renew us again. Bring revival to your church that we might wake up, seek your face, turn from our wicked ways, and you might heal us. We ask this, Father, because of Jesus, our Savior, whose blood covers our sins and whose righteousness covers our shame, and whoever lives to make intercession for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you join me in continuing to pray that prayer for your church and for the church? For the glory of God's name, for the good of his people, for the advancement of his kingdom, that we would be the salt and light that he called us to be, that he would restore and renew us. Well, join me tomorrow as we look at Revelation 12. Have a blessed day in the Lord.